So, it was with best intentions that I thought we were going to talk about love and poppy seed fields and flowers and rose gardens and sunshine and roses and all those things. We are not going to be talking about love. The Holy Spirit, I'm serious, I truly do want to preach what the Lord wants me to preach. I'm sure you want me to preach what the Lord would want me to preach. And sometimes the Lord just takes things in a different direction. We just got done with a series on anger. We've been talking about pride and anger. And last week we talked about humility and humbling ourselves. And as I was preaching that last week, I had a thought after the services and just could not get away from it this week. And how is it sometimes so hard for one or both people to humble themselves? And God was beginning to work in my heart on bitterness. And I struggled with bitterness in the past. I struggled with bitterness in my own family, some family situations that I went through as a young person with a broken home and those kinds of things, and things I saw and things I heard planted inside of me a seed of bitterness. And because I did not deal with those things as a young person, I became very rebellious as a teenager. I was not a very kind adult growing into my adult years. I'm thankful for the wife that God's given me. She's helped me mature spiritually and emotionally and mentally in all of these areas throughout the years. But years ago, I heard a sermon on bitterness and unforgiveness. And I was about halfway through that message that somebody was preaching that. And I was sitting right over here as a pastor. And I don't know if anybody was at that service. And about halfway through that service, I just knelt on my knees for the rest of the service because God began to deal with me about the deep root of bitterness I had in my heart towards those folks involved in those things in my life. And they hurt me, and they did these things. And I took those things, and rather than giving them to the Lord, I kept them in my heart, and I began to let them grow. And as the Bible says, a root of bitterness began to trouble me, and thereby many were defiled. And so I praise the Lord for victory somewhat in that area. I know I struggle still from time to time. You don't know you're struggling until you hear the phone ring and you see someone's name on there and you go, oh, I don't much like that person. Or you might hear their name in passing and you go, well, I don't much care for that person. And those kind of thoughts come up every once in a while and you go, man, Lord, I don't want to feel that way. And I don't want to think about that person that way. And I don't want to feel as if I can't speak to them, or I don't want to feel like I can't get along with that person, or we might not be best friends, but just cordial and being kind and Christian love and kindness and tenderheartedness and forgiveness towards those people. And here's what I found. I found the person that hurt me the most, and I don't have to tell you all the gory details. It's not important this morning. But I can tell you that the things that happened to me there, when I would meet somebody in my life that would mirror that or would speak that way or would act that way or be prideful that way, that person hurt me, I kind of lump them all together. And that's how the Bible says that many are defiled, because you begin to treat everybody like they're that original hurt, like they're the person that hurt you in the very beginning. And so over the next several weeks, I hope to maybe guide you through some thoughts on bitterness. I've done some things on bitterness in the past. Sermons and things like that and lessons. But I really want to get into the mentality and the spiritual danger of bitterness in our hearts. And maybe this morning, simply the truth is that you're bitter towards God this morning. Maybe something has happened and you questioned God and God didn't answer the way that you thought He'd answer. You didn't feel like it happened the way that you thought it should happen. And it wasn't resolved, or that person didn't get put in jail, or that person didn't get called out on that thing, and that person's successful today, or that person's living their life like nothing ever happened, and that makes you bitter. That hurts you, and I want to show you that what they're dealing with is what God is going to have to do with them. The Bible says, "Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. I will repay," and that is a promise from God. And sometimes people are just kind of sitting back, waiting for that person that hurt them to be in a car accident or to lose their job or to have somebody hurt them physically or have somebody speak to them that way or have their marriage end that way. And we get this idea that we want to see God do something. And God says, no, you're holding on to bitterness in that instance. you're dwelling on things and letting that seed of bitterness grow into a deep root. And it is, the Bible says it troubles you. While you're dealing with that, while you're dwelling on that, why it's become a part of you, that person's going on living their life. But here's the truth. God says, vengeance is mine. I will repay. It might not be in your timetable. It might not be as mad as you are. It might not be to the nth degree that you would have done it. But aren't you glad that you aren't God? Because sometimes we think we want to take God's position, but we don't know how to deal with anger the way God did. The Bible calls it righteous anger for Him. We don't know how to take vengeance the right way without being spiteful and hurtful. We don't know how to break somebody the way that God can break them and bring them back to repentance. We want to break them to break them. And God is able to take vengeance and repay that person to the point where the Bible says the goodness of God can lead them to repentance. The faithfulness of God in dealing with that situation can bring them back to the Lord and make sure that there's another person restored to the Lord. But I want to talk about in our hearts. I want to talk about that feeling inside of you that seems to come out every once in a while and show itself and show its ugly head in your life. Even with the best intention, you don't want to speak that way. With the best intention, you don't want to feel that way, but it's still there. And I want to maybe point some things out by way of example. So this morning I'm going to show you types of bitterness, where God shows some things that are bitter in the Bible, and He kind of just draws the parallel to us with some truths about bitterness. And then tonight, I want to go through the fact that when we are bitter, how does it show? Every root has fruit, right? So if you walk outside today, you're going to see some plants around the property. Every one of those plants have roots. Before there was ever a plant above ground, there was a root beneath ground. And so we understand with bitterness, the Bible says the root of bitterness troubles you, and thereby many be defiled. And the way that they're defiled and the way that troubles you is the fruit of the root. And we're going to talk about some of that fruit that comes out in our lives and how we show bitterness. You don't show people bitterness. You feel bitterness. You show people different ways by the fruit of the root of bitterness. And so let's look at a couple types here of bitterness in the Bible that God shows us some truth about bitterness that I want to just draw some parallels by way of application this morning. And I hope it'll be a help to you. That maybe pinpoint some things in your life. Maybe you don't think you're bitter, and that would be the matter of pride. If you are just not going to listen this morning, and you say I don't have a bitterness problem. Listen, if something has happened in your life, if you've been hurt ever in your life, I need you to pay attention this morning, because there is a possibility of the root being there. I heard a story one time of a young lady. She came into a pastor's office, and she was mad, and she was rebellious, and she was in her early 20s, and she was actually thinking about getting an abortion, and she was mad. The pastor was trying to talk to her, and one of her friends had brought her to the pastor, and for a couple weeks that she would just spew anger, and she would just spew out hurtful things, and she would just say how mad she was, and how life wasn't fair. And finally the pastor said, "What happened to you as a kid? Like, what happened to you? Something had to have happened that made you this way." And she began to break down and cry. And it sounds silly, but she actually said, there was a day, she said, the first time I can imagine being really hurt to the point where I didn't want to even listen to anybody in authority or listen to my parents anymore. She said, one day I came home from school, and she said, my dad, he hated our dog. I mean, every chance he got, he would make sure that we knew he hated our dog. And she said, I came home from school one day, and she said, my dad said the dog ran away. They couldn't find the dog. And she was brokenhearted, and of course, her dad played along with it and just kind of sold the story. And years later, she was, as an older teenager, she was out in the yard, and she was planting a garden with her mom, and she put the shovel in the ground. When she pulled that shovel up, she saw the skeleton of a dog. And her dad had killed that dog and had buried that dog in their backyard and told her that that dog had ran away. Now, we might think, get over it, it's a dog. But if you've had pets, you know what I'm talking about. I didn't much like animals growing up. And I think we had a fish or two, and we had a satanic dog growing up. There's a show out years ago, and I don't know, I've never even seen the show, but it's called Buffy the Vampire Slayer. Our dog, we named it Buffy. this thing was satanic. And but I didn't much care for animals or pets or things like that. But last several years, our family got a dog, and you know, if something happened to little Bailey today, you know, I'd be brokenhearted. I don't know if I would. Yeah, I'll be quiet. But you know, she's part of the family, and you understand what I'm saying. But even as insignificant as that might seem to somebody else in the auditorium here, if somebody did that to you when you were a child, that would plant something inside of you. And all of those years later, now there's no excuse for how far she had gone with it because she had just never gotten it out. But that seed was planted by a parent doing some very foolish things and lying to their child like that. So we need to talk about these things and let the Spirit of God run through your heart this morning. David said, "Lord, search me and know me. See if there be any wicked way in me." Listen, if we would just stop, I had a situation this week where if I just would have stopped for 5 minutes, I wouldn't have found myself in the mess I was in. Stop for 5 minutes. I just want us to stop for a few minutes this morning and let God search us and know us to see if there be any wicked way in us this morning. Exodus chapter 15, look at verse number 23, if you would. So the children of Israel have come through the Red Sea. We preach on those things, and they're out on the other side, and they're making their way down through the wilderness there. They're heading towards the land of Canaan. Of course, verse 21, Miriam says, "Singing to the Lord." So Moses brought Israel from the Red Sea, went out into the wilderness of Shur, and they went 3 days in the wilderness and found no water. So that's the moment they're at. They're at the place where they're thirsty. They're at the place where all their reserves are gone. And now this is where verse 23 comes. It says, "And when they came to Marah, they could not drink of the waters of Marah, for they were bitter. Therefore, the name of it was called Marah." It had a different name before they got there, but after they got there, they renamed this place and they called it Marah. And the word Marah actually means a place of bitterness. If you remember in the story of Ruth, you'll remember her mother-in-law, Naomi, came back from the land of Moab. And when she got back to Bethlehem, Judah, she walked into the town and the people said, "Is this Naomi?" She said, "Call me not Naomi, call me Mara, because the Lord had dealt very bitterly with me." And she named herself Bitterness, a bitter person. And what a sad name to give yourself. But isn't it so true that some of us this morning, if we were honest, we'd have to rename ourselves Mara from every once in a while because of the bitterness that has gotten into our heart because of the hurt we've experienced. And so when they got to these waters, of course, they were 3 days without water and they were very thirsty and they wanted to get a drink. And I'm sure several people went down to the water and immediately began to lap up some water or grab some water out of there. And the first person, it was death in the water. It was bitter. It was poisonous. It was nasty. It was undrinkable water. And so the very first truth about bitterness, and I don't have time to tell the whole story of all that God did there, but it is something we'll come back to in weeks to come. But in this matter of bitterness, can I say, number one, that bitterness is not always easy to detect. There's some here this morning, you walked in here and you have your Sunday best on and you came in here with your spouse and you guys are smiling and you guys are sitting here and you're singing the songs and even maybe a tear every once in a while when you think about somebody in heaven. And listen, I'm not making fun or poking fun at you this morning, but I am saying this. It is real easy for us to sit here and act like everything's all right when it's really not. It's not always easy for me to detect bitterness in people's lives. I believe we'll look at a passage later, but I think spiritual leaders, one of their responsibilities in people's lives is sometimes to detect some bitterness that might be happening in their lives, some fruit that you see from their life. That's the only way you can judge that. The Bible says, "By their fruit ye shall know them." And so we see that sometimes people exude anger or exude some evil speaking or some wrath on people and clamor. And the Bible says these are all fruits of another root. And it is sometimes hard to detect when people are bitter. And so you might think that you have everybody fooled this morning. And everybody around you doesn't know about the hurt that you've experienced, about the things you've gone through, If you wrote it down, we'd all be embarrassed for you and ashamed that that happened to you. And we would definitely feel that in your life, there's some justification of being angry and some justification of being hurt. But there's never a justification for being bitter. And immediately as those seeds are sown in your life, you have to make sure that you take those seeds and you uproot them immediately when they've been planted in your life. Bitterness is not always easy to detect. If you look fine this morning, if you look happy this morning, this isn't about me detecting it in you or your spouse detecting it in you or your friend across the aisle detecting it from you. It is about you detecting it in yourself and letting the Holy Spirit of God show it in your heart this morning. Because some of us are very angry people and some of us are very very hateful people and we are very spiteful people and we're very hurtful people. The old adage is that hurting people hurt people. And I see it all the time in Christianity. Somebody's been hurt and they can't get back at that person, so they'll hurt their spouse. Or they'll hurt their children, or the children will hurt their parents, or whatever the case might be. Bitterness is not always easy to detect. It's like this oasis that they came to, that they thought would be great, that they thought would meet all their needs, and when they really got down to it, it looked fine, it looked clean, it looked pure, but it was bitter. And so bitterness is not always easy to detect. Would you turn over a few books to Deuteronomy chapter 32? Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy chapter 32, the fifth book of the Bible. This is at the end of the book of Deuteronomy, and of course is at the end of the life of Moses. Moses is kind of giving his farewell speech. And that day God showed him exactly the moment, not necessarily the second or maybe even the day, but he said, I'm going to take you on this little journey away from the people, and this is where you're going to die. And so Moses was aware of the end of his life coming. And he was in the last days of his leadership, in the last days of his life with God on earth. And so we see in Deuteronomy chapter 32, he talks about these people. In verse 15 it says, but Jeshurun waxed fat and kicked. Thou art waxen fat. Thou art grown thick. Thou art covered with fatness. Then he forsook God which made him and lightly esteemed the rock of his salvation. So this Jeshurun, or later on it says it several other times, but this name of Jeshurun was a symbolic name for Israel. It meant that you had all the privilege of being God's people. God gave you everything that you would need. God gave you every care that you could ask for. And what he got back was a people that became, spiritually speaking, fat and lazy and unthankful and a people of indifference. And he goes on in verse number 28. He says, for they are a nation void of counsel, neither is there any understanding in them. Oh, that they were wise, that they understood this, that they would consider their latter end. May I say to you, in the matter of bitterness this morning, there is an end to that bitterness that is not good. There is a life to that bitterness that you do not want. There is a lashing out and a hurt that you will impose upon other people because of the bitterness you have in yourself. And Moses says, oh, that they understood this, that they would consider their latter end, that they would consider the end of this matter, of what is going to happen. How should one chase 1,000 and two put 10,000 to flight, except their rock had sold them and the Lord had shut them up? For their rock is not as our rock, even our enemies themselves being judges. Verse 32, for their vine is of the vine of Sodom and of the fields of Gomorrah. Their grapes are the grapes of gall. Their clusters are bitter. This is an analogy in verse number 32. If you remember way back in the book of Genesis, years and years before this, in the time of Abraham and Lot, God destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. He buried that city under ash and destroyed the entire city with fire and brimstone, and a very salty, sulfuric mixture was brought into the ground of that day. Well, there, hundreds of years later, people would come by and settle that land, and they would begin to cultivate the ground, and they would begin to try to grow things. And the Bible says, by analogy, if from Sodom and Gomorrah, all these hundreds of years later, it doesn't matter how much time has passed. People came there and they planted a vineyard and they cultivated that vineyard. They say it takes 7 to 10 years to get your first good grape off a vine. And so they would cultivate it for years and years. And of course, they were trying to make fresh juice and all of those things from those days. And they were going to try to cultivate these grapes. And the Bible says when they finally, after all of this time, they cultivated the grapes. They brought in the harvest. They crushed the grapes. It says their grapes are grapes of gall. Their clusters are bitter. On the outside, it looks delicious. On the outside, they look great. On the outside, it looks normal. On the outside, it looks luscious. On the outside, it looks like something you'd want. When you take the first bite, you'll realize how bitter it is. And I'm afraid if we don't understand these truths this morning, that bitterness is not easy to detect. But number two, bitterness stays in you if it is not dealt with. May I say this? Time is not a healer of hurt. It is one of the great lies of Satan. Well, if you'll just sweep that under the rug, and if you'll just get away from that person, and if you will just not even pay attention to it, if you'll just act like it never happened, if you will just be able to just get through it and close it out of your mind, then you'll be okay. That is a lie from the devil. Because as this analogy is given to us, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years later, with the ground that looked good, with a vine that was the choicest vine, with a vineyard that was cultivated and pruned and placed in the right place, and all of the privilege that it ever needed to grow, they harvested that harvest of grapes, and they bit into it, and they juiced it, and the first taste of juice and the first bite of the grape was bitter. Because in that ground was a mixture that made it bitter. And because the ground was not dealt with, the fruit of the root tasted bitter because the fruit mirrors what's in the root. We can go outside today and we can think that we're planting something in good ground, and I've planted things and we've sown seed, grass seed out in the front yard here before. If you'll walk over to the front yard of my house, you'll see right on the corner, there is a spot for some reason. We've seeded it for the last 3 years. I mean, we've even dug down a couple of inches and turned over the dirt, and we've planted seed there, and we've tried to grow grass there. For some reason, it will not grow grass there. The problem is not the grass seed. It works everywhere else. The problem is the ground. And I'm telling you, in your heart, when things have been sown into your heart, and they hurt you in that moment, and they hurt you a day later, and they hurt you a month later. Listen, time, you might be able to say, well, I can just move on. You don't get to just move on. You can try that if you want, but I'm here to tell you, on the authority of God's Word, hundreds of years can pass, and if that bitterness in your heart has not been dealt with, another spouse will not give you more joy. Another job will not change it. Another house will not change it. Another car will not change it. A bigger bank account will not change it. A change in fortune will not change it. A different church will not change it. If there is bitterness in your heart, it must be dealt with. Because it will not go away over time. Bitterness stays when it is not dealt with. I would pray this morning, as God is showing us these passages, and as God is bringing up, listen, it's not a coincidence that person just came to your mind. It's not a coincidence that something just came to your heart, and you felt that pain once again, that maybe not as strong, and maybe not as hurtful, and maybe not as deep and as cutting as it was the first time, but it's there. And I'm telling you, time does not heal bitterness. It actually makes it worse. The Bible says that it is like a root. And if you know anything about plants, which I don't know much, but I know this, the longer they're in the ground, the deeper the root is going to get. on the corner of the property right over here behind the baptistry on the very front of the property. It is the place where we never pay attention to weeds. And years ago, I went out there, and there's like this little tree sitting there. Or actually, I noticed something a few weeks ago. I said, I need to get over there. I was out getting the mail. I said, I need to get over there and pull that branch out of there or whatever that is. It was a big sapling of something. Well, I just forgot about it. And I think it was past winter, and then spring came. And then I went out there one day during a work day, and there was a little tree sitting out in that corner. And I said, man, I forgot about that thing. It didn't have any leaves on it, and it wasn't growing. It was in the rock bed up here. And so I went over, and I grabbed it by the trunk. It's a good inch and a half, 2 inches thick, and I grabbed it, and I just started pulling. Well, I probably could have pulled all day, and I wasn't getting that out of there. I actually had to go get a shovel. I think actually Dwayne got the shovel. I won't take credit for that. I think Dwayne actually got the shovel and moved the rocks out of the way. We actually had to cut the roots around the roots and pull that thing out. I mean, just a little two-inch sapling that would have gone into the foundation of the building and eventually would have probably caused some big problems, but pulling that out of there gave me a great lesson that day. Time doesn't make it go away. It makes it go deeper. It affects more relationships. It affects more people. Here's what it does. It starts by troubling you. And our temptation is thinking that once I'm done being troubled about it, then it's over. But the Bible says it troubles you first. And thereby is a word of time. Thereby, after time has passed, many will be defiled. So I ask you, over the next several weeks, deal with these things. God arrests you. God brings it to your mind. God brings it to your heart. God searches you, and He knows you better than you know yourself. And He brings something up. Deal with it. Deal with it. Get it out in your mind and bring it to God and say, God, I give you this person. I don't want to be bitter towards them. It's not even hurting them. It's hurting me. And maybe it is somebody that's in the room, or maybe it is your spouse, and something has broken you apart, and something has come in between you. Time is not going to fix that. You have to deal with the bitterness in your heart. Bitterness is not easy to detect. Number two, bitterness stays and grows if it is not dealt with. Would you turn to James chapter 3? Towards the end of your Bible, after the book of Hebrews, the book of James, chapter 3. In James chapter 3, in verse number 13, it says, who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. But, I love that word because it basically changes the thought and says, you might think you're wise, you might think you have understanding, you might think you're okay, you might be endued with knowledge, you might have a good time, you might have a great lifestyle, and you might be trying to do everything right. But, if ye have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not. And lie not against the truth. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. That wisdom you think that you're going to get through life with, that understanding, that smarts that you have, is not going to go very far. Because it's of the earth, it's not spiritual. Because you have bitterness and envy and strife in your heart. For where envying and strife is, there is confusion. And every evil work. You might say, man, I just feel like my life is falling apart. I just feel like my life is confusing. And I don't know how to answer these things. I don't know how to... You've got to go back. The Bible says you've got to go back to not thinking everything's fine and everything's good. And I'll be fine if I just get some power, if I just get a little bit of truth, if I just get a little bit of stamina, and if I just get a little bit of wisdom here and strength, I can just move on and push forward. And He says no. He says because bitterness is like heart disease. If you know anything about heart disease, and probably every one of us do, we know that it doesn't come on in one day. If you're unhealthy this morning, you didn't become unhealthy overnight. If you're having heart problems today, it probably started years ago. And what they tell us is if we're unhealthy or we eat unhealthy or we have an unhealthy lifestyle, what happens is over time our arteries and things of that nature that pump blood to and from our heart, all these veins and arteries become clogged. And the blood begins to, the pressure of trying to get that blood through rises, and your blood pressure rises, and your the heart becomes weaker because of it. It's not getting the blood that it needs, and blood disease or a heart disease is something that starts in the veins and the arteries and begins to clog, and all of a sudden we call it a heart attack. Why do we call it an attack? An attack is something that happens suddenly. Watching a special the other day, a few weeks ago actually, on 9/11, on the towers being brought down. And probably seven times during the special, it said, and the sudden attack on our country, the sudden attack on those buildings, that suddenness caused this many lives, the suddenness of this tragedy. Why? Because when it attacks, when there's an attack, when you have a heart attack, it is something that happens suddenly. Bitterness will attack suddenly. That's why people say, I don't even know how I got that angry. I don't even know how that word, those words came out of me. It's almost like I was attacked. It's almost like I didn't even know what I was saying. I've heard things in courtrooms and things like that, and people say, I just kind of blacked out and killed that person. I mean, it was like something came over me and I hurt that person. Well, what is that? And I'm not going to go into whether I think all of what my thoughts are on those kinds of things and mental things and all those things. But to say this, they sometimes don't plan on doing that. There's times where people do it suddenly. But the suddenness of the outside fruit is from the time that it is taken for the bitterness to clog up your spiritual heart. David got so blocked up in his spiritual veins and arteries, talking about spiritually speaking, got so clogged up that he was able to commit adultery, that he was able to kill the husband of that woman and orchestrate his murder. And all of these things that he had in place to do that. And Nathan comes to him and he tells him this story. And David rises up and it says in great anger and says, that man shall die for that offense. Now, what would make David suddenly say these things? It was bitterness inside of him that had clogged his spiritual heart. And the attack came. Bitterness attacks suddenly. The fruit of bitterness attacks us suddenly. It comes out at the most inopportune times. It comes out in our lives and people will begin to see it in our lives or our spouse will begin to know it. Listen, we have to deal with what's on the inside. We have to go back to when you were a child. We've got to go back to when you're, well, I don't want to pull up old things, preacher. You better. You better take your spiritual shovel out this morning and start digging some dirt out and get down to the roots of this thing. Because your spouse is in the line of fire from your bitterness. And they're tasting every day. Your children get to taste every day as their spiritual food, your bitterness. And the church is not going to move forward until God's people have this thing of bitterness out. And so it's not attacking us suddenly. We don't have people getting angry and wrathful and lashing out at others. But we're taking our time and patience and hearing the matter and being able to dissect it and helping people that are hurting and helping others with what we've gone through. That's what we should be doing with what we've gone through, is helping others. The Bible says we can help others. The God, Father of mercy and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in our trouble, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the mercy wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. What we should be doing with those situations in our life is taking them and helping others. But I know people, they cannot, they have lost a loved one and they can't that you couldn't get them to help somebody who's lost a loved one. You know why? Because they're still bitter. I've watched people lose somebody near and dear to them, and you say, hey, this person lost their husband also. Could you go over and just maybe comfort them? No, I couldn't possibly do that. Hey, I know this preacher friend, and he could really use a word of encouragement. I know you kind of went through the same thing. No, I'm not into that. I know this marriage that is having some trouble, and you and your spouse, I remember you telling me some things, and maybe you could get alongside of them and take them out to dinner and really help them along in this thing. And that couple says no. Because the truth of the matter is that if you can't help somebody else with what they're going through with, that you went through, it's because you're still not over it. And you're still not through it. And you still have bitterness in your heart towards God. And you still have bitterness in your heart towards others. And you have bitterness. Listen, if God did something and God allowed those things to happen, and you are still holding those things as if God is against you, that's called bitterness. And bitterness attacks suddenly. You'll see a picture and you'll go to pieces. You'll hear something and it'll all that pain comes back again on you. And listen, I'm not saying that losing a loved one isn't hurtful. And I'm not saying losing a child isn't hurtful, or losing a job, or having marital problems that maybe you had, or you got divorced, or God brought you down and you lost a lot of things. Listen, I'm not saying those things aren't hurtful. They hurt to the magnifying effect. But we're supposed to take those things and get through those things and over those things and around those things and walk through those things with God's help. And as God helps us, we're supposed to turn around with that mercy and that grace that we were helped with. And we're to be helping others. This world is not lacking for hurt. And they need some spiritual doctors and nurses who will stand up and say, I've been through what you're going through. And here's how God helped me. What I'm afraid in our Christianity, in our ranks, is that God hasn't helped you. You haven't allowed God to help you through it. And therefore, you cannot help somebody else walk through that valley of that shadow of death either. And lastly this morning, and it's Hebrews chapter 12. I've been quoting it all morning, but the root of bitterness just back a couple pages there. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse number 15. Looking diligently. Listen, we gotta look diligently. The Bible says we've gotta take some time. We've gotta work our way through this, looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God. Isn't that a strong verse? Fail of the grace of God. The grace of God is never pushed on anyone, but the grace of God is available to everyone. And if you want to get through that situation, if you want to get through that divorce, and you want to get through that separation, you want to get through that job loss, you want to get through that financial disaster, you want to get through that child who's been rebellious, you want to get through that spouse that you're upset with, you want to get through that church situation you went through, and you're landed here this morning, you say, you wouldn't believe what I've been through in church. Listen, we're going to have to look diligently at it. And we're going to, listen, the only thing that's going to help you through it, can I just have your attention? The grace of God. It's not going to be some great sermon. It's not going to be some, all of a sudden the pastor shows some picture up here and it solves all your issues, or he preaches one message and unlocks everything and you're good to go now. You're going to have to go through it. And you're going to have to relive it. I hate to tell you that, but you're going to have to relive it. But you can relive it, because where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. And no matter what is happening in your life and what you've been through in your life, the very grace of God, the Bible says in Hebrews, the very grace of God is there to help in time of need. The grace that saved you is the same grace that sustained you. And we need God's grace to get us through these hurtful things, abusive things. Listen, we would never do this, but if we got up in this auditorium today and told things that happened in our life, we would probably close our ears halfway through. Say, I don't want to hear anymore. Because that person looks like they got it all together. And listen, you might look like, and I'm not talking about coming here next week like, you know, I didn't shave for a week and my shirt's untucked and, well, I got stuff going on. It's okay to look fine, okay? It's okay to come across to people that you got stuff together. Like, we want you to do that. You know, we want you to come in here like acting like the maniac of Gadara, you know, running around without your shirt on or something. What is wrong? I got issues from when I was a kid. Leave me alone. Yeah, we want you to look fine. But underneath being fine, we want to look diligently to our hearts and get through these things. Because the Bible says, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. Listen, the carnage doesn't stop. If you just say, I'm just going to keep it to myself, I'm just not going to let anybody know, I'm just not going to deal with it, you can act like that. But the Bible says inevitably it will attack, it will come out, the fruit of the root will happen, and others will be hurt. So I ask you to deal with it this morning. May I just say to you, I'm so sorry that some of you have dealt with somebody else's bitterness. I don't know why people would act out like that or do stuff like that or say things like that or hurt people that way. But I do know this. If you let it cause bitterness in you, then you're never going to stop the cycle of bitterness. And that's what we're here to do. To look diligently and experience the grace of God and dig up the roots of bitterness. Because eventually, you won't.